You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I started teaching several weeks ago. Of course, we had John Paul Engler last week. Did a tremendous job, as always, talked about separation, and just it was awesome. In fact, your provision is at your point of separation. You've got to separate and get away with God and get in His presence if you're going to get protection, you're going to get provision, or whatever the case may be. It was when Elijah was separated and went to the brook Cherub that the ravens fed him. And his provision, God's supernatural provision, came from a point of separation. We may be in the world, but we're not of the world.
That's right.
Now we're not out here, looking down on the world, and there's a balance there, but you don't hang out with the world. You may minister to them, but you don't spend your fellowship and your time. You have no fellowship with righteousness, and unrighteousness has no fellowship. And so we have to make that determination in our mind. We are separate. We are the people of God. We are something, therefore there's something that we are not. You're not everything. You remember that movie, a Gandhi movie, and he got up and he says, "I am a Christian, I am a Jew, I am a Hindu, I am this, I am that." He am confused, okay? Because you can't am be both those. We're talking two different philosophies and doctrines, and so you can't, in ministering to the world, you don't become the world. Even a fisherman throws the net over the side of the boat. He doesn't let the sides of the boat down and get down there amongst them, because then you sink your ship, when you do that. And so just awesome message on separation, very good, about how we need to separate ourselves. We love people. We're not against the world. We pray for them. We want them to come. And yet we are who we are, and God is who He is. Amen? Amen. And so we must live a separate life in that respect. Praise the Lord. Well, in Mark 10, hallelujah. Not that you'd remember, but I was preaching on yeah, put a lot of confidence in you there, didn't I? Yeah. But you love me. It's my birthday. I can get away with it. I was ministering, of course, the blind Bartimaeus, who cried out at the begging on the side of the road. And of course, to premise that, we'd been ministering on speaking up and confessing and praying and believing and standing on the Word. I think too many times we just settle in silence. We don't pray. We don't believe. And Psalms 94:17, which we used as a text here a few weeks ago, says that if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. And the New King James Version says that. And what he means there, of course, literally, is that he would have died. But if you take the metaphor, I guess, settle in silence, I think too many times we just settle in silence. We don't speak up. We don't pray. We don't aggressively pursue an answer. We just let what's happening continue to happen. And the good news is that the Lord is our help, and we don't have to settle in silence. We have recourse. We have means of invisible support, invisible means of support. We have a silent partner. There's more to what's going on here than what we see. We can call on God, and we can get some help. The Lord is our help, and we don't have to settle in silence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can pray, And Psalms, 45, verse 1 says, "My heart is overflowing with a good matter concerning the King." And he goes on, he says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer."
Yeah.
I love that. If your heart's overflowing with God and His Word, and you've been praying, you've been seeking His face, then your tongue is ready to write a new chapter. And I think too many times we put a period at the end of an event, or we close the book, as it were, and we ought to be writing another chapter. Yeah. Don't accept defeat. Don't accept failure. Don't accept tragedy. It comes. We're in a world full of tragedy and defeat. But don't internalize it. Failure is an event. It's not a person. It's not who you are. You had something bad happen to you, join the club. Not to minimize your pain. But we have a lot of bad things happen in life. This is a fallen world. Get back up. Get back up. Write another chapter. Believe God. Trust God. Call on God. If your heart's overflowing with a good matter or indicting a good theme, I think King James Version says, then out of the bunch, the heart, the mouth will speak. And when you begin to confess and pray God's Word, you are writing another chapter in your life. When something happens in your life, don't think the pen's empty. You still got ink in the pen. Just start writing another chapter. Hey, write a whole new book if you have to. But let's get out of this thing. Amen? Let's don't settle in silence. Let's don't stop this end of chapter, the end. No, let's don't the end it. Period. No, let's put a comma. Hello. And if you're if you have God's Word in you, it's not going to just be you doing it. He's going to help you do it. It's not your force of the will. Now, we're not saying that, you know, you can humanly do this by yourself. No, we're saying you cannot do it by yourself. But you do have the choice to allow God to use you. That you do have. You do have free will in that sense. You can allow Him to, or you can cut Him off, as it were, from continuing to move in your life. If you have God's Word in your heart, you'll have to speak up. You won't have much of a choice in the matter if you've done your homework and you've been prepared and you're a person that prays and a person that really does seek God and really does stay in His Word. You'll be like Jeremiah. If you try to be quiet, His Word will be like a fire shut up in your bones. Yeah. And you'll try to hold back, but you won't be able to hold back.
Come on.
Amen.
Because the Lord will be your help.
Sure.
Your heart will be overflowing. You'll have to write something.
Yes.
New chapter. See, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes.
He didn't say, let the redeemed of the Lord be quiet about it.
That's right.
He says, let him say so. And Psalms 107 tells us that, verse 2. But he also says this, in Psalms 35, verse 27, he tells us this. He says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant.
Yes.
Now, I like that because he tells us to continually say that.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Are you with me? And if we favor His righteous cause, we should be shouting for joy.
Yeah.
And we should be continually saying, let the Lord be magnified, takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. Yeah, but did you hear about the stock market? Well, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant.
Amen.
Yeah, but did you hear how many jobs we lost just last week? Yeah, but let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. Well, how can you say that? Because I favor His righteous cause.
Yes, right. That's good.
And I'm supposed to shout for joy.
Yeah, man.
Actually, the worse it gets in the natural, the more glory He's going to get when He meets my need. It makes Him look good. So far from things looking bad, looking worse, and about to take us under, things are looking good for a miracle.
Amen.
Things are looking right for a miracle. Man, it's gotten to the point where it is going to have to be God to get me out of this one. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, it's just two ways you can look at those things, you know. You can give up or you can go up. So we decide we're going to go up. But it starts with your talk. You know, you just talk yourself into a hole. Talk yourself into a corner. Your pride can ruin you. You know that? In a situation where you just talk so negative about a situation that there's no way out because you have talked yourself totally into a corner. You can do that negatively. You can do that in a positive sense. You just talk about God and talk about His Word and talk about the promises and talk about your testimonies and talk about how He's answered your prayer and He's helped you time and time again. Well, you can't help but win.
Yeah.
Because your attitude is, God's going to do it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's going to do it again. Are we going to have some trouble, some pain, some struggle? Well, life's a struggle. It's got rough edges. I understand there's a battle going on. The bullets are flying. But see, we win this deal.
That's right.
We stay at our post. We keep standing. We keep believing. Sometimes we get our feet knocked out from under. Sometimes we get sucker punched. Are you not looking? You know, just where'd that come from? But we get back up.
That's right.
The Bible even says a righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again.
Yeah, yeah.
He rises again. I love that. I think it's John Wayne said, or somebody. I don't know who it was. No, it wasn't John Wayne. I think John Wayne says your whole life's going to be getting knocked off a horse and getting back up again. So get used to it. You know. Fadna, you know, whatever. However you did that. But there was another saying. You know. But another saying, it wasn't John Wayne, but he says, I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up.
Amen. That's right.
So it starts with what we say. It starts with how we look at things, our attitude, our outlook. We're not perfect. Of course, we're going to get in sin and have to repent and get people to pray with us. That's why we have the body of Christ. Amen. But there are answers. There are answers in God's Word. God is for us. He is not against us. Hallelujah. You're not doomed to repeat this failure the rest of your life or the sin even the rest of your life. You can overcome. You can make it. If you're willing to, you know, obey God and cry out and not be silent. Don't settle in silence. This is what happened here with this man, blind Bartimaeus. Well, he actually was healed Bartimaeus. He got healed. 46 verse, 10th chapter of Mark. Mark 10, verse 46. Notice what it says here. It says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. And they knew his name." Now, this is a known person, okay? This is not just a beggar. This is not just a blind person. This is blind Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. If you lived there, you would have known who he was. In fact, this is like a validated miracle, if you want to know the truth of it. If you lived during the time of this being written, everybody would have said, "Oh, yeah, I know Timaeus. Yeah, that's his son, Bartimaeus. Oh, yeah, I remember. He was blind. Oh, yeah, he was healed. We know that guy. That's a miracle." Far from just being generic story here, they knew who he was. Yeah. It does the world good. It does people good. It does your neighbors good. It does your relatives good. People you work with, when they know you and you get a miracle.
Amen.
It gives God glory. Amen. Yeah. And so here he was, a known person, Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to contain myself. He heard it was Jesus. Well, he'd heard some pretty good things about Jesus. Probably heard some things a lot of us hadn't heard. He heard some things a lot of Christians hadn't heard about Jesus. When he heard it was Jesus, he knew he was fixing to get his, because in Texas you're always fixing to get something. He knew he was going to get his miracle. He knew Jesus was a miracle worker. He knew Jesus healed people. Jesus had a reputation of healing people. Jesus was known to do miracles. He was known to receive people, accept people, and change people. Not turn them away, not say no, but he was known to say yes. And all of a sudden now, blind Bartimaeus, he'd heard about Jesus, and somebody said, "Jesus is coming down the road." He didn't say, "Well, that's nice." Tell him I said hi. No, he got excited.
Amen.
And he got loud. Are you with me?
Yes.
When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me."
Yeah. Amen.
Loud enough for him to hear. I mean, he was over the crowd because there was a great multitude following him. And he was on the side of the road. Want to make sure he was heard. Sometimes you have to cry out above the great multitude of voices in your life that say you can't. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. You deserve this. Hello?
Amen.
You got to cry out louder than that.
Yes.
You've got to confront that. I mean, you can't just let those voices continue and be silent. They'll take over. They'll rule your life.
Yes. Yes.
They'll determine your destiny. All those feelings, all those isms that you might have, all those hang-ups, are you with me? All those issues. You know, if you've got issues, you need to come to Jesus. There was a lady that had an issue, you know, and she got healed. Y'all are just, I'm losing all the humor on you today. I know you'll get home and you'll laugh and you'll get it and you'll think, that's so funny. Anyway. But you need to come to Jesus with all that.
That's right.
And you need to speak up and you need to cry out louder than the voices that say you can't. That say, "God's not that kind of God. God does not care." No, I tell you what. I tell you who wins. The loudest voice wins.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The loudest voice wins.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, there was a great multitude that he had to override. He had to speak louder than. And many times there's a multitude following us. Are you with me? A multitude of voices saying, "Be quiet." A multitude of voices saying, "You can't have this." A multitude of voices saying, "That's not true, not true." And yet there's the word that says it is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Come on, that's good.
And he says he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I love this because you know what he wants. Anybody know what he wants? A miracle, what does he call it? He calls it mercy. Mercy. Is God not merciful? That's one thing sure hadn't passed away. His mercy endures forever. If anything God is, he is merciful. His mercy endures forever and ever. and ever. Over and over the Bible tells us that. So if healing is an act of mercy, then healing in this case obviously is still around today because he's still merciful today.
Amen.
And there's hope for you. There's hope for your situation, whether it's healing or whatever the case may be. It just happens to be healing in this verse. He says, then many warned him to be quiet. Now you can't do that. Come on now. Let's just look. You got to learn to play the cards that are dealt you. I mean, this is just, you know, it's just life. It's what's on your plate. Just eat it. All these are wonderful sayings. They're just not true. I believe you can get another hand. And I believe you can get something else on your plate. Don't tell your kids this, okay? Stay with me. But all these little sayings we have, you know, that come along and it becomes a doctrine. It becomes a teaching. Somehow we think that's religious and spiritual, but you don't see that in the Bible. People didn't talk that way in the Bible. People that got miracles in the Bible, people that got healing in the Bible, they were a little obnoxious. They were relentless. They were very focused. They were passionate, and they were kind of loud. They weren't passive. They were passionate. You know, they didn't just hold back and whatever happens, happens. Well, whatever, I guess if he wants me to have it, he'll let me have it. No, they cried out for it. They took roofs off buildings and let people down. They went through crowds and grabbed the hem of his garment. They fell at his feet and said, come, lay your hands on my daughter and she shall be healed. They cried out when everybody says, be quiet. See, it's just how much of God you want. It's how much of his promises you're willing to be a fool for. Well, I don't want to rock the boat. Well, you need to do something because it's heading the wrong direction. You need to turn the boat around. It's going the wrong way. Best thing for you to do is rock it if it's going the wrong way. If you don't want to go where this boat's going, then turn it around or get out of the boat. Then many warned him. This is good stuff, amen. Y'all are paying a lot more attention than y'all were 2 weeks ago when I preached this. Then many warned him to be quiet. Many warned him to be quiet. Many warned him to be quiet. Wow. Do you think that when you make a stand on God's word, when you make a stand for God, to serve God, you make a stand to trust God, or whatever the case may be, you're praying about something, do you think that everybody's going to jump on your bandwagon? According to the Bible, they won't. According to the Bible, many will think you're crazy. Many will tell you you're nuts. Oh, come on, settle down, man. You're just going a little crazy here. You've gone over the, yeah, a little cuckoo here. Come on. Back down to your earth. Back down to earth here. You know, many will do that, but if it's right and it's God, you've got to be focused and you've got to stay with it if you're ever going to get the prize, if you're ever going to break through the problem and get to the answer. Hallelujah. In this case, it's obvious. You know, in fact, is it in this instance or another one that even the disciples tried to quiet him down? His own disciples, sometimes even religious people, well-meaning, try to calm you down. I had someone tell me when I got saved, and a well-meaning person loved me, a relative of mine, told me, you know, about the Bible, and I was just getting consumed with the Bible, and had come out of drugs and jails and got saved and got my life turned around, you know, and just reading the Bible every day. I was so hungry to find out what God said and this new life in Christ, and man, it's just so awesome waking up, you know, knowing where I was the night before, and hello, still all had all my money in my wallet and everything. It's just wonderful, you know, you know, this someone well-meaning person was telling me, you know, I know you read the Bible a lot. Yes, I do. I'm reading. I'm just, you know, my whole life, and I'm trying to line it up with God's word and so on and so forth. And they said this as a wisdom statement. Now think about this, trying to help me. Well, now you know that if all you do is read the Bible, that's all you're going to know. And I waited a minute to soak up that wisdom. Yeah. And I said, yeah. That's right. You're right. Yeah. You would. Now, of course, I read other things, but stay with me. My response was real simple. I said, well, you know, even in college, you have a major. I mean, there has to be something you major on in life. If you want to be something, you want to become some occupation, whatever the case may be. I just decided in all my reading that the Bible would always be my major. That's what I want to major in, is God in my life and my family and whatever the case may be. And you know what? Every one of us ought to have the Bible as a major and Jesus as a major. Amen. Whatever it is we do, our major is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. And so, I mean, I appreciated that and I understood where they were coming from, but I was thinking the whole time, yeah, that's all I'll know. And that's not a bad thing. Hello. See, you're going to have discouragement along your journey of believing God and trusting God, believing for something that God promises, standing in faith concerning a situation in your life. And God wants you to do that. He wants you to stand in faith. He does not want you to accept the tragedy. Now, it happened. Okay, we accept that. But He doesn't want you to accept it in the sense that it's going to ruin your life and determine your future. You need to come out of the mess that you're in. You need to. It's not a sin in being poor. It's a sin to want to stay there. It's not a sin to be sick, but it'd be a sin not to try to get well. Are you with me? It's not a sin for depression to come in like a cloud, you know, to feel depressed. But I tell you, it is a sin to shut the door and get in the closet and turn the phone off and pet that devil. It's not a sin to feel that. But cry out. Get some help. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Let's come out of this. God will help you.
That's right.
It's not a sin to grieve. Grieve is a natural part of life. I mean, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. I believe it is a sin to pick up a spirit of grief. You had a loss, bad deal. I hate it. I mean, I know what loss is, but you know, you got to go on.
Yes, you do.
You got to get up. We've gone through the grief. That's fine. We've cried. We've failed. That's fine. Let's get back up now. See, we don't grieve as others which have no hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
We have hope. And if you're not careful, you'll pick up grief and you'll never let it go.
Amen.
And the years rock on and you're still grieving about something that happened 50 years ago. See, if you think about the situation, sure, grief will come. Hey, it happened. It was a bad deal. You know, God doesn't like it either. You say, why didn't He do something about it? He has. He's coming back.
Yes.
This all will be changed one day. One day we'll get to heaven, hallelujah, and there will be no sorrow, there will be no suffering, there will be no pain. Former things have passed away. All things have become new, hallelujah. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. Now, He's helped us today. We have some strength today to get through these things and overcome some of them too. But let's don't be blaming God. It's not His fault. He'll help you get back on your feet.
Amen.
You don't think God hates it? He hates it just as much as you hate it. He grieves just like you grieve. He hurts just like you do. The Bible says He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
That's right.
Woo! But here's the deal. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Come on out. Come on up. Come on up. Cry out on the side of the road for mercy, and let's get healed. Let's get some strength. Let's get back up on our feet. We are going forward.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more. Wow, that's when you need to get louder. A great deal, the King James Version says. He cried out a great deal, all the more, a great deal. The more they tell you to be quiet, get louder. They'll finally learn, they'll stop that. Cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Wow, I like that. Got his attention. Yeah, he's listening for this. He's looking for this. You know, this is something you find in the Bible. Jesus, you know, he's walking along in some cases and people arrest him with their faith. In one case, a centurion came to him. Matthew 8 chapter, actually, where that happened. A centurion came down, you know, and said, just come lay. No, he said, my servant lies at home sick. And Jesus, he was explaining to Jesus, he says, I'm a man under authority, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, another man come, he comes, and you just speak the word only. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him, is what he said. And he said, no, I'm not even worried that you can come under my roof. You just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. I understand authority, Jesus. I'm a man under authority. I like that. He didn't say a man has authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. He recognized in Jesus was under the authority of God, no question. And the more you submit to the authority, the more authority you have.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So he said, I'm a man under authority, and I say to this man, go. You know, the more you're submitted to God, the more you have power in prayer, the more you can say God's word, it'll happen.
Yes.
The more submitted you are to God. So he said that, and he said, just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. Jesus, the Bible says, marveled at this man's faith. It arrested him. It's the only place I know where Jesus marveled at faith. Now, he marveled at unbelief, but here he marveled at the man's faith.
Right.
You mean if I just say he's healed, you'll take that? You'll just go with that? That's it. You just say it, I'll believe it. Wow. Jesus stopped everything. And he said, you know, I hadn't found this kind of faith in all Israel. Found. Everybody say found.
Found.
Meaning he's looking for it. What is he looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for people that cry out. Looking for people who will not be denied. Looking for people who really trust him. Who really think that God means what he says. Wow, what a concept.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually believe that the promises are true. That you can apply them to your life. Man, that separates you from a lot of people. But still, those are the kind of people that got the miracles in the Bible. They're the kind of people that got, you know, were healed of lameness and blindness and issues of blood and on. Got the daughters healed, the servants healed, and so on and so forth. He said, I hadn't found this kind of faith all in Israel and all Israel. So here's this man. Y'all catching this?
Yes, sir.
I know you maybe think I'm just belaboring the point, but there's a purpose. There's a method to the madness. So Jesus stood still, 49th verse. He'll stop heaven and earth for you. You'll trust him. If you'll really call out in faith. If you will not be denied. If you'll get on your knees or whatever the case may be, sitting down, standing up, it's not the position of your body, metaphorically. If you'll really submit yourself to him and not be denied and take him at his word and cry out to God, hallelujah, and not let everybody shut you up, as it were, quiet you down. But you'll focus in on him, because really it's you and him. Come on, people. It's you. When you need a miracle, it's you and him. You need his praise and his approval and his acceptance more than anybody's else's. Not that we purposely want to offend people. That's not the point. But the point is we don't want to be drowned out. We don't want to be silenced here. We're talking to God. Sometimes you have to tell the little kids, hey, we're having a conversation here. Are you with me? Sometimes you have to tell the little voices, wait a minute, hold on. I'm talking to God here. And if they won't be quiet, just turn up the volume. Man, that's what I do. When I'm at the house and got a game on and all the kids are in there, 15 grandkids, trying to remember their names.
Wow.
And the game's going and they're getting louder, I kick in the surround sound. I've got the power. I just drown them out, you know. Well, that's what we got to do. Crank up the volume. Amen? Okay. Don't lose your focus here, because focus is your faith. You get distracted, you'll lose. See, focus, faith is focus. That's what it is. It's focusing in on this instead of all the other voices and all the other things that would distract. And that's the greatest power the devil has, is deception and distraction. That's what he does. He gets us off our purpose, off track, off our road, off our focus here. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, now all of a sudden they're on his side now, because Jesus said, come on. Now they're his best friend, you know. Be of good cheer. We didn't mean that when we said be quiet. You know we're just kidding. You know. Jesus wants you up here. That's what we want. We want what Jesus wants. Yeah. Okay. Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. Wow. I love that. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came. I love that. Throwing aside his garment. You know what he was saying there? He's saying, look, I'm not going to beg no more. I'm done. I'm done living this kind of life. I'm getting my healing.
Amen.
I'm going to get my miracle. I'm not going to live this way anymore. And I'm going to come out of this ditch in faith, the side of the road here, and I'm getting to Jesus, and I'm going to get my miracle. I'm not going to need that. I'm not going to need that beggar's robe. I'm not going to need to beg. See, this is faith. Now, he's focused here. I'm going to get my miracle. I'm going to get what God promises. This is Jesus. Jesus won't turn me down. He will not let me stay this way.
Thank you.
Woo.
Thank you.
Be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Wow. I wonder what we got to throw aside to get to Jesus. That's a good question, you know. I don't want to try to over-spiritualize everything here, but there's so much truth in this when you think about it. There's a lot of things that are holding us back from Jesus that we need to throw aside in order to get to Jesus. There's a lot of things that distract us and keep us from our purpose and from our focus and from our faith. And at some point, you're going to have to throw it aside. You're going to have to let it go. Some things you can work through. Some things you've got to kill them and cut them off. Are you with me? You just got to stop them altogether. I mean, some things are just wrong. You don't, you know, some sins you're working on and you're improving on. Some sins you just have to stop them. You can't, you know, you can't say like the husband says, "Well, I only beat my wife once a week now."
Wow.
You know, that's it used to be three times a week. But, oh, come on, man. I don't know if that's not funny if you've been in that situation. I just use that as a shock just to get you. Some things you just stop them. I'm just going to taper off here. Real bad drinking problem. I just used to get drunk every night. Now it's just on weekends. Well, no, man. You know, you need to throw them aside. Some things you need to throw aside.
Yes, yes. That's good.
You don't, some things you don't taper off. There are some things we do work on. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Character and so on and so forth. So some things you just got to throw them aside. So he did that. He threw them aside and he rose and came to Jesus. I love that. Some of these things hold us back. Some of these things keep us from, like, John Paul said last week about separation. Sometimes there needs to be a separation from certain things. Okay, so he came to... Y'all with me?
Yes,
sir. 51st verse. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, what in the world would that matter? Wasn't Jesus going to do whatever he's going to do? Well, not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, you have a lot to do with what Jesus does in your life. You have a lot to do, have a lot of say-so as to whether he moves in your life or not. You can cut him off. You can rebel against him. You can run the other way. You can say no. Or you can say yes. You can release him in the one sense in your life. Or you can bind him up. You say, "Well, that's crazy talk." Well, that's just Bible talk. It's just what the Bible says. Are you with me? He says, so Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do?" That's the question. We often ask this question, what does God want? Well, you know, a lot of us know what God wants, but it's not happening. Because we don't want it enough.
That's right.
God wants it. It's His will. He told us what it is. But see, we don't want it enough in order for God to do it for us. We don't really want His protection enough, or we don't want His peace enough to give up this or give up that or... Are you with me? If we want it bad enough, if we want it bad enough, He already wants it.
Yeah.
So the question now is, do you want it? You know, it's amazing Jesus came up to that man at the pool of Bethesda. Remember that instance, John the 5th chapter? And an angel would come down and trouble the water, and whoever stepped into the water first after the trouble of the water was healed, the Bible says. And he was complaining about, "I don't have anybody to help me down in the water." It's always somebody else's fault, you know. Playing the victim, we do it, you know. I tell you, I've been to church, those preachers. Oh, man, come on. Just find another one. Come here.
Okay.
Or I've been in church, I got hurt. Oh, join the club, everybody's got hurt. Let me tell you something. If you come here long enough, I'll probably make you mad. And you're probably going to make me mad too. But it's interesting that I don't have that option. I can't run off. I have to keep coming back and preaching to you. Well, now, come on. Now, stay with me now. Now, stay with me. If you're married, you're going to get upset with each other once in a while. But you're married. You got to love each other. If I've got family, how about you? You got family? Everybody's not always happy. But you know what? They're my family. And we work through things because we're family.
That's right. Right.
And we work through things because we're married.
That's right.
And it's been good. Yeah, because I'm so forgiving. She's so repentant. I just joke. I'll just, you know, make it. It's my birthday, right? Thank you, Tommy. But in church, that happens. We're not, nobody's perfect. But you know what? We've got to get through things. We just got to get through things. We got to, and you know, you allow that or not allow that. And so it's the same thing with God. You allow or don't allow God to move in your life. You run off or you work through the thing. You know, and so that pool of Bethesda, you can't blame everybody like that man did. He was blaming everybody. You know what Jesus asked him? It was an amazing question. He says, now you go, you put this in your brain, okay? You or put this in your pipe, smoke it or whatever. I don't think y'all will be smoking. Stay with me. Just a metaphor. Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? Are you kidding me? The man asked the man if he wants, do you think that man doesn't want to be healed? Yeah, but you know, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we like the attention. Sometimes we have a bad day and we feel like we've earned it. And we stay home. We lay down on our couch. And we enjoy the sickness because we have earned this thing. Oh, we get down, we get the blues. We put on all of our blues music. Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm so down. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's put on another album. Put on another blues album. And we don't want to get out of it. Not bad enough to fight it. Well, I'm pushing some buttons here, aren't I? Hey, I'm just pushing my buttons. I go through the same thing. I have to fight that same thing. Are you with me? We all fight those things. You know, where it's convenient, it's easier not to fight. Anybody can lay down, and that's the easiest thing to do. It takes something to stand up and fight the thing. But you know what? You need to fight it. You need to fight it for you. You need to fight it for your wife and for your husband. You need to fight it for your kids. You need to fight it for people that are looking to you. You need to fight it because you need to show the glory of God to people. You need people to see Jesus and His miracle working power. You need people to know that He can help us in these times, that we don't have to give in to it. We don't have to be another statistic. You need to fight this thing. Will you win every time? Well, probably not. You're not perfect. But God wants you to win every time. Do you get everything you pray for? No. I think you get everything you believe for. You don't get everything you pray for. I don't always believe, but when I'm believing and I'm focused and I'm not going to be denied, I'll get an answer for sure. Right. And I have to work on that. I'm not Superman. I'm not perfect. But just don't blame God. Let's don't put that off on Him and say, well, He just chose not to answer my prayer that time. Oh, come on, man. He'll do everything He says He will do. If something's wrong, you missed it, I missed it, and it's okay. I'm not condemning anybody or myself. But I'm sure not condemning God, and I'm not going to slander Him.
That's right.
We are a work in progress. He's not. Y'all with me?
Yes.
This helping anybody?
Yes.
Okay, as soon as y'all get this, I'll let you go. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it, but I, you don't want to do it. Okay. Let's finish this up. All right. So, 51st verse, Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? That's interesting. Like he asked that man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be healed? There's the question. It's not a question whether God's a healer. He is the Lord God that healeth us. It's not a question whether we've been healed in Him. By stripes you were healed. The question is, will you be healed? Do you want to come out of that sin? Do you want to turn your life around? Do you want this marriage to work? Talked to a lot of people that really wouldn't be able to say yes to that. They won't come to a little counseling, but they don't want to work it out. It's not going to work if you don't want to work. It's not going to work. Okay. So, get off that. Okay. It's first verse. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. What a question. That is the question of the ages right there. What is it that you want Jesus to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, our teacher, that I might receive my sight.
Amen.
Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Woo! Hallelujah. Now I know Jesus healed him, there's no question. Faith is not a healer, I don't believe that. But faith is a receiver. And faith is a connector. Faith is the battery cables that hooks into the power source of the battery, as it were. God is the power. No question, He is the healer. But you've got to believe to receive. You've got to connect and hook up the connectors. And that's why Jesus was, you know, it's almost like Jesus was, he was calling for, he wants this man, come on, man, come on, come on, come on, please, tell me, come on, tell me you want it, tell me, I'm so close, I'm right there, all I need is you to say, I want it,
right.
Do you want it, I want to heal you, but you got to want it,
yeah.
It's my will to heal you, but is it your will, do you want it,
yeah.
Come on, what do you want me to do, Heal me, Lord. Yes. Your faith has made you whole. I believe God's on the edge of His throne in many cases. Waiting, waiting, wanting to help. Come on, come on. Just ask me. Just ask me. Come on, just ask me. If you'll just ask me. If you'll just ask me. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. If you'll just ask. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door's open. I'm here. I'm waiting here. I'm right here. What do you want? Do you really want it? Because I can do it if you really want it. If you really believe. That's what you see in the Bible. You see passionate faith. You see purpose. You see focus. You see determination. You see people who will not be denied. You see people who will not be quiet. Not normal. No, of course not. Who wants to be normal? I always heard about normal. It's real simple. Everybody's normal until you get to know them. Anyway. Come on, I'm giving you all a lot of stuff. Ain't I? Good, bad, or indifferent. I hope it's good. Hallelujah. But, you know, focus in on the Word. Focus in on what is going on in your life. I don't know. There's a lot of things happening, but what's the main thing? What is it you need to solve in your life? What is it that you need to address, that you need to pray about? Yeah. I want to encourage you, and God does too, to not let the thing continue. Don't ignore the mountain. Whosoever says to the mountain, be removed, to be removed. You have to speak to the situation. You have to speak to the circumstances of your life. You have to speak to the events of your life. You have to talk to them. You have to address them in Jesus' name and not be silent, or they will drown out your voice. They will drown out your destiny. They'll drown out the will of God, what God really wants for your life. See, what God wants for your life should be the loudest thing in your life, the loudest thing in your mouth. Should be the thing that you cry out. Amen.